Well, good morning. That didn't sound a lot like the Christmas spirit to me. Good morning. As we extend this celebration, may all the blessings of Christmas be ours. Good morning again, and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you joined us on this first Sunday of Christmas. You know, Christmas isn't just a day, it's a whole season. So we're still in the midst of it. We're still enjoying God's presence among us. We especially welcome those who may be here for the first time. If you are, we want to make you feel right at home so that those of us who are here all the time, pretty much, want to extend the hand of welcome to you. And if we don't do that quickly enough, you just introduce yourselves to us, because we are delighted that you're here. If you look in the brief bulletin insert, you'll see some very important information about our continuing life as a community of faith. I'm going to raise just a few of those. First of all, our youth ministry continues to its winter stock sale in support of our senior high mission trip 2013. If you haven't bought stock in the trip, Katie Slattery would be glad to sell you some. She's in a table in Reed Hall, and it's a small table. If you've been out there before, there was a larger one. It's a small table, but you'll be able to find Katie if you would like to help support our youth ministry and that senior high mission trip next summer. Also, don't forget our Tazay service on New Year's Eve. That'll be Monday night, 6:30 p.m. It'll be around the labyrinth, and it'll be in the gym. What a wonderful way to mark that transition from one calendar year to another with a contemplative time of prayer and openness and welcoming of God's presence. Also, if you haven't completed your 2012 contributions, they can either be postmarked by December 31st or hand-delivered to Cindy Moore tomorrow at 4 p.m. The office will be open tomorrow from 8 to 4, but will be closed on Tuesday in celebration of the New Year holiday. God is not just present for a brief time, for an evening. God is not just present for a season. If we open our eyes and open our ears, we will find God everywhere we look and at all times.
who thirst, come to the living water. Come and worship God, who spreads a table before us.
A table overflowing with milk and honey.
Give thanks to God, whose way is abundant mercy.
Rejoice, for God will pardon all who return.
Let us ask for God's compassion as we wander through the wilderness of life. Let us pray. Almighty God, our mouths are dry, thirsting for your living water. Our bodies ache with spiritual hunger, longing for the food of your word. Pour out your abundant grace upon all who are gathered here. Cultivate and nourish our souls, that we may once again turn and walk in your ways. All this we ask in the name of the one who is life itself, Jesus Christ. Hear the good news. God's ways are not our ways. Ours is a God of mercy and forgiveness. All who will turn to God will be received joyously, pardoned abundantly, and will live forever in the love of God. Will you pray with me the prayer of illumination? As we come to hear the scriptures today, O Lord, stir up our hearts that we may welcome your incarnate Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts and shed light on our path, that we may walk in the way that leads to eternal life through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's listen now to a word from the prophet Isaiah. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth be. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated, and any youngsters who are here, welcome to come down, because our sermon is really the children's time. Okay. Since we are here, we go. All right. I was going to say, since we are all children of God, this is a time for all of us anyway. Come on up and have a seat. If there are others who would like to come sit with us, that's fine. If not, you're welcome to remain in your seat. Yeah, come on down. Good. Last year on the Sunday after Christmas, I read a story. Now, usually I tell stories, but I read a story, and it was a story I had written for my daughter, Sarah, a long, long time ago, actually, 23 years or 22 years ago then, because it was just before she was born. This year, I have another story for you, and this story was written for my daughter, Lizzie, and it was written this Christmas, and since Lizzie is studying art and is an artist, I call this story The Spider Artist, and it's about a story that we've been talking about a lot, about a wicked king who was afraid of a little child. So, here's the story. People were always saying to Priscilla, "You can't do anything. You're too small." It was true that Priscilla, as a spider, was the smallest creature she had ever seen. The goats and sheep were much larger than she was. The birds were so large that when they flew above her, they cast a shadow across Priscilla in every direction as far as she could see. Although, truth be told, she couldn't see that far. She was too small. Even the insects, like the beetle and the grasshopper, were larger. She had heard stories about a creature called the chigger, smaller than she was, but she had never seen one. She had heard that one reason you couldn't see them was because they were always buried deep in the skin of another creature. The chigger's hiding place caused the creature's skin to itch so terribly that chiggers were disliked by everyone. But the other creatures liked Priscilla very well. In fact, she was quite likable. She was just ignored most of the time. She was so small that she was knocked around quite a bit and occasionally stepped on. Fortunately, being so small, it never really hurt her. But she was never invited to play with the other creatures, as when the sheep and goats frolicked in the fields, and certainly never chosen to play on a team when the beetles played the grasshoppers in team sports. When she asked to play, she was told, "You can't do anything. You're too small." It was the same when Priscilla tried to help someone. If a donkey had a heavy burden to carry, she wasn't strong enough to help carry it. Or if a goat got a foot stuck in the mud, she didn't have the strength to help pull it out. Though she had eight legs, all of them working together could not do much but help her scurry out of the way of the other creatures. When she asked if there was anything she could do, they would always reply, "You can't do anything. You're too weak." Priscilla always replied, "I may not be able to do everything, but surely I could do something." One day, while Priscilla was alone and very sad, she happened upon the praying mantis. I don't know if you've ever seen a praying mantis. It looks kind of like in a way like a stick, but its hands, or I don't guess bugs have hands, do they? Whatever they have that are like our hands, are together like this, and so the mantis looks like it's praying. That's why we call it the praying mantis. The mantis was known as a very wise and holy creature, and compassionate too. He stopped right in front of Priscilla and asked, "Why are you going around so sad, little one?" She answered, "Because I am such a little one. Nobody wants me to play with them or even help them. They say I can't do anything because I'm too small and too weak. I tell them that I can't do everything, but I can do something, but they don't listen." The mantis paused for a long time, then said, "Tell me, what can you do?" "Well," began Priscilla, "the only thing that I can do that other creatures can't is to weave webs. Nobody seems to think that's very important because a heavy breeze or some creature walking past can rip the most beautifully woven web to shreds. The threads from which I weave the webs are small and delicate, just like I am." "Well, being small and delicate's nothing to be ashamed of," the mantis said firmly. "Those threads are that way because they're spun out of your body. They're a part of you. I've seen your webs. They're works of art. And when the dewdrops collect on them, they sparkle like tiny drops of crystal light. My dear, you are one who creates beauty. You are an artist." An artist. Priscilla would have to think about that. But how important could an artist be when their work can be destroyed in so little time and with so little effort? Artists are very important. They take the most ordinary things in the world and make from them something beautiful and true. Just because a work of art only lasts for a brief time doesn't mean it's not important. Now, you've heard the songs that the birds sing, haven't you? Each note springs from the bird's beak and lasts only for the time it takes to hear it. Then it's gone, only a memory in the hearer's ear. Just so, your webs are created and then are gone, but they live in the eye's memory. But beauty doesn't seem to be very useful, Priscilla told the mantis. Everything is useful, even if its use is to soothe the soul or please the imagination. Sometimes things are beautiful and can have hidden uses far beyond their frail and tender making. Who knows, for all of its fragile beauty, one day one of your webs could even save a life. The wise mantis explained all this as he slowly made his way past her. Priscilla had a hard time imagining that. After all, everyone was always telling her that she couldn't do anything. She certainly couldn't do something as important as saving a life. Still, she would do the something she could do and do well. She would weave webs. She began to practice her art at the opening of one particular cave. That way, she could display her webs where creatures could walk or fly past and not walk through them. Creatures, except for the bats, rarely had need to enter a cave, since they had their own burrows and dens and warrens and nests and such in which to sleep. One day, however, three humans broke through one of her favorite webs. A man, a woman, and their child came running toward the opening. They rushed into the cave, the man waving his arms to wipe away Priscilla's work. At first, the tiny spider was very upset that such a beautiful web could be destroyed completely with one broad sweep of an arm. She had heard of humans and had seen a few. She had been told that humans had no regard for the beauties of nature or the work of other animals or the creatures themselves unless they prove useful to humans. Priscilla heard the humans talking about a wicked king who was so afraid of their child that he had sent soldiers to take the child's life. They were going to run away and hide the child to keep him from the swords of the soldiers. From the terror in their voices, it appeared that the soldiers were not far behind them. Priscilla knew what she had to do. She must begin again to make her web across the cave opening. She would hide them and protect them. As she worked, the other creatures called out to her, "Why are you weaving another one of those webs? They are so weak that they hardly last a day before something or someone tears them down." She knew this was true. Her web would not stop a soldier. It wouldn't even stop a bat. Still, she had to do something, and this was the one thing she could do. Priscilla completed her web just before the soldiers arrived. The commander gave orders for the soldiers to search everywhere. When she heard the commander's order, Priscilla's heart felt as if a hand was squeezing it. They would burst right through her web and find the family, and the child would perish, and her efforts would have been no help at all. One soldier started to enter the cave, but just as he did, he saw Priscilla's web and stopped to look at it. He called to another soldier, "Come here and look at this beautiful spider web. Seems a shame to tear something so exquisitely woven." "Well, why would you tear it apart?" the other soldier asked. The first soldier said, "We're told to search everywhere." The second soldier replied, "They weren't that far ahead of us. If they had hidden there, they would have torn the web first. No spider could have created anything so remarkable in such a short time. There's no way they could be hiding there." So instead of going into the cave, both soldiers went their way. After the soldiers were gone, the humans who had hidden in the cave looked out very cautiously. They, too, had seen Priscilla at her work and the web the soldiers had been talking about. Their hearts were filled with fear and pain as they heard the conversation taking place just inches from the cave's opening. But now they stared in wonder at the exquisite web and puzzled over how such a beautiful and tender work of art could have saved the life of their child. The mother saw the spider. "Thank you," she told her. "Your web woven with such care and beauty has saved the life of our child. You will never know the great gift you've given us, and perhaps to all the world. You see, we have been told that God has special plans for this child." Priscilla's web had saved a life of a very special child. My goodness, for someone who had been told she couldn't do anything, that was quite a wonderful thing to hear. Priscilla replied, "While I couldn't do everything, I could do something. I simply did what I could do. Now, break through the web and be on your way," Priscilla told the three, though she had no idea if the humans could really understand the language of spiders. This is a story based on an old legend about a spider who wove a web across the mouth of a cave and saved the baby Jesus from harm. I just added a little bit to it because it was a very, very short legend when I first found it. Now, this story doesn't appear in the Bible, of course, but as we imagine the birth of Jesus, we've come up with a lot of other stories about how people and even creatures and even insects and even spiders recognized what a special child he was. Let's pray. We thank you, God, that even if we can't do everything, we can do something. You've given each of us something that we can do very well. For some of us, there are many things that we do very well. Remind us that none of us is too small or too weak to use the gift that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. One of the ways we're reminded of all that God has done for us, not just on one occasion, but throughout history, is through our affirmations of faith. So I would invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in our hymnal. There you'll find an affirmation from the United Church of Canada. Would you join me as we tell our story? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. And if you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship following our worship service in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church, as well as a special baked treat for you. I invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who are worshiping with you today and greet anyone that you may not know at the end of our service. I invite you to take note of the gray card that you find in the pew rack. One side of the card may be used to record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests. Please indicate if the prayer request can be shared with the whole congregation or is to be kept confidential among the pastoral staff. The card can be placed in the offering plate as it is passed down your pew in a few moments. Today we offer our sympathy to Allison Wills Brooks and Lee Ann Wills and their families who are mourning the death of their sister, Meredith Louise Wills Waller, who died December 20th. Services were held at Christ Community Church on December the 23rd. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, Savior of the world, who was born as a human child in Bethlehem, where there was no place prepared for you, remind us to pray for all who are rejected, all for whom there is no home, no welcome. We pray for those who are outcasts and who are marginalized in today's world through poverty, hunger, and oppression. Lord, in your mercy. God, Prince of Peace, we pray for peace in our world. We pray for all people who live where there is military conflict and violence. We pray that wisdom and diplomacy guide the leaders of the nations in order that there may be an end to violence and warfare. Lord, in your mercy. God, parent of us all, we pray for this church and the many communities that make up our membership. Help us to remember that we are all members of your family. Help us to welcome all who come among us, knowing that in showing love and respect to any member of your family, we are showing love to you. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for people who are in need of your healing power and presence in their lives, especially for those known to us personally. May they feel your loving presence and healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. God of salvation, peace, and justice, come to us now as you have come to your people in every age. We thank you for all the people in our lives who have reflected the life of Christ. Help us to follow their example. And now, with the confidence that we are children of the Prince of Peace, let us pray the prayer Jesus taught all of his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having received new life through the generosity of God and the hope Christ brings, let us give thankfully and abundantly with God's tithes and our offerings, that we may be called God's generous people.
And now go forth to weave those webs that God has given you to weave, serving God and your neighbor as you do. And the God who is present with us always, in the person of Jesus Christ, walking among us as God's love, and the Holy Spirit that breathes in and through each one of us, be with you this week, this holy season, and forevermore. Go in peace.